This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
Traffic report is actually a very powerful tool for our sellers to understand how the listings are performing in the conversion funnel. And in this case, the conversion funnel is how many times the listing was shown to the buyers. And then out of that, how many times they actually clicked on that listing to view your listing details. And then how many of them actually converted into an actual purchase.
I believed in what I'd designed and hoped at some point that I would sell them. And then in the January of 2013, it literally exploded. I took £8,000 in 4 weeks.
Wow.
I didn't know what hit me. I was in the bath and my phone was just going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I was sort of thinking, oh, I've taken all this money while I've been in the bath.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 98. Brian Burke is not with us this week, so I'll be flying solo for this entire episode. Please bear with me. In this episode, we'll meet the next seller whose story was selected for the 25 Stories for 25 Years of eBay project. Her name is Victoria Eagle, and she sells from her home in the UK. She'll be here to talk about why she ended up selling on eBay and what she sells. But first, our theme for July is seller success, and as a segue from last month's theme of traffic, we'll talk about an important page in Seller Hub, the traffic page. To help us sort through the data on that page and how we can use it to boost sales throughout the summer and beyond, we're going to talk with Senior Product Manager for Seller Experience, Pirana Joshi, and that's coming right up. But first, a very quick bit of important news from the Managed Payments team, as promised last week. The team has just launched the Managed Payments fee page with details on fees, as well as several examples of total fees based on seller type and category. You can view that page at www.ebay.com, Simpler Fees. Let's start the episode. Last month was Traffic Month on the podcast. This week we have one more traffic-related segment to address, and that's the traffic page under the Performance tab on Seller Hub. Now, this page holds lots of great data for sellers, and here to help us understand how to read and use that data is Pirana Joshi, Senior Product Manager of Seller Experience. Welcome, Pirana.
Thank you, James.
Before we get started, what is the purpose, the intended purpose of the traffic page in Seller Hub?
Traffic report is actually a very powerful tool for our sellers to understand how the listings are performing in the conversion funnel. And in this case, the conversion funnel is how many times the listing was shown to the buyers. And then out of that, how many times they actually clicked on that listing to view your listing details. And then how many of them actually converted into an actual purchase. So it's an entire conversion funnel, starting from the impressions to the page views to the actual sales.
Okay, so tell us, what is meant by the impressions data figure?
Impression is a metric that represents how many times your listing link was shown, and the listing link could be shown in a search result. Like when a buyer searched something on eBay and we show the search result, that counts an impression. Another example is when you go to a listing description, right below it, you see a lot of these modules showing up, similar items from the same seller. All of these modules, the listing shown on those modules, those count also as impressions. So it's search, impressions from search, and it's also impressions from other placements on eBay.
Do those include impressions that come from outside of eBay?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, good. All right, so that makes sense. We get an idea of that. But what's the difference between impressions and page views? Because that's the other metric that's on one of those columns.
So impression is like a link to your listing. It's not a full description of your listing. When a buyer clicks on the link, right, that's when you see the entire listing description page. And when you go to the listing description page, that counts as a page view. Now, that includes page views coming from eBay as well as outside eBay.
Oh, okay. So that's the number where if somebody's coming, say, from Google Shopping, that will count as one page view.
Exactly.
All right. So that makes sense. What is click-through and as a rate, and how is that rate calculated? What is click-through?
So click-through rate is out of the 100 times, for example, when your listing link was shown on eBay site, what percentage of time a buyer clicked on it to view the listing details on your, basically go, went to your listing detail page. So if your listing, if your CTR rate is, let's say 2%, that means out of the 100 times the listing was shown, 2% of the time buyers clicked on it and went to the listing description page.
So if I understand correctly, I'm searching for something, which I do often on eBay because I buy a lot. And mm-hmm. I'm on a search page, result page. There's a lot of results. Not all of them I'm going to click on, but the ones that are most intriguing to me, whether that's price or the title, I'm going to click on that. And when I click on it, that's part of the click-through.
Exactly. And I think you answered here two questions. What is click-through rate and what helps in click-through rate?
Yes. Well, and it's true because if you want people to click on your listing, you've got to make it attractive at that level before they even get to the page. So on the traffic page itself, there's a lot of ways of viewing this data. For example, when I first go to the page, I see a bunch of graphs on the top of the page. What do these graphs show me?
So these graphs shows you the trend of these different metrics, impressions, page views, and quantity sold over a period of time. So then you can understand, are these metrics trending up? Are you getting more impression or page views? And a lot of factors goes into it. One big factor that goes into it is if you're using eBay's promoted listing program. So if you were not using it and you started using it, you can see if it helps you to trend up, because that's what you expect when you use it. So you can see the result of the actions that you take, how are they resulting into getting you more visibility on eBay site?
So I'm looking at these and I'm seeing that some trends show that the trend is heading down. And this is concerning to me as a seller. What can I do with this data to help me reverse that trend?
You would want to understand what listings are actually driving that. So that's where you have a listing view right below.
Right.
So you can understand that which listing could be causing that downtrend. And then you can focus on improving those listing. Even within that, the first thing you want to understand is where is the downtrend happening? Is it on impression level, page view level, quantity sold? And then within that, which exact listing is actually causing that?
And like you just said, on the top, there's these aggregate data that are shown in graphs. But underneath, if you scroll down, if you hadn't thought about this seller, you need to do this. Scroll down and you'll see there's actually these same data points, but instead of being aggregate, they're for each individual live listing you have currently up and running. So that's where you can learn which one of the listings in your current group of live listings are actually performing well and not performing well. It also will indicate to you as a seller, correct me if I'm wrong, Prerana, this will indicate to you as a seller whether or not buyers are finding your items, because it seems to me that if there's lots of impressions but not a lot of click-through and page views, then your listings are showing up, eBay's showing them to buyers, but buyers aren't just finding them enough to click on them.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another metric shown there called conversion rate.
Yes.
That will help you to see if you're getting enough page views. So buyers are coming to your page, so they made that step of clicking to the link from impression to page views, and now they're on page views. But if you see that there are a lot of page views, but they're not converting into sales, then the factors that helps you in the conversion is when you are looking at the listing description, how is your seller feedback rating? How is your handling time? How is your return policy? So things like that, it helps you in moving to the next step.
Yeah, and I know I used that data point, by the way, recently myself. I was selling IKEA bags for Pride. These come available now. This is the second year they come available. And I buy a bunch from IKEA as quickly as I possibly can. And then I resell them for a short markup on eBay. And they're very popular. But I discovered that my conversion rate was higher after I put a quantity discount. The more you buy, the less you pay per item. And I saw my conversion rate for that listing immediately fly up. That was how I read the data myself. And if you're selling a multiple quantity listing and you're seeing that your conversion rate is low, maybe putting a promotion on it can help get that metric up there.
What a great story. I myself want to share a story that recently I was trying to sell an item on eBay, and I was seeing that there were a lot of page views, but they were not converting into sale. It was not even multi-quantity. It was the single quantity item.
Yeah.
And it was not converting into sales. So I tried eBay's best offer program.
Yes.
And the moment I put the offer program, I started receiving offer from a lot of buyers. And I accepted an offer and I ended up selling the item.
Sure.
There are these different eBay tools that are available to our sellers. And I highly encourage them to use these tools, because we have a lot of success stories like yourself and myself that where we were able to sell those items using these tools.
I love when I hear from people in the product team that they're selling on eBay. Thank you for selling on eBay, because I know it helps you understand the tools better that you work on.
Yeah, sure.
So I was going to ask you that about the individual listings, because I think a lot of our audience may not sell SKU or multiple quantity, but that data for the conversion still can yield some important insights, even if it's a single quantity listing.
Definitely, it is applicable for both type of items. I just gave an example of how it helped me selling an item.
Sure.
First of all, knowing where the problem was. Another example that a single quantity item seller can use is, if you're seeing that your listing is not getting enough impressions, then you know that to get the impressions, the things that impact the impressions are things like aspects, adding aspects, or price competitiveness is another thing, right? And other thing is, you can try eBay's promoted listing program. So all these things goes into improving your impressions. And then basically, once you understand where the problem is, then you can focus on improving it, right?
Yes.
So this tool helps you to understand where the problem is and then taking action to improve that.
And this is an important figure of speech that you used earlier when you said the funnel. And it really is a funnel in this case, because you go from impressions being the first important thing, getting the item to show up in relevant search. And that can be a matter of, as you say, making sure that your listing title is correct for keyword searches, but also using as many of the item-specific options as possible, because those now count in search. And if a seller is refining their search and they're selecting an item-specific refinement and you're not providing that, your listing could not show up in search, and that would explain a low impression.
Definitely, those all go into it. And this is definitely a tool that helps you to see the conversion funnel.
Well, Purana, I want to thank you so much for helping me better understand this. I'm sure this is good for sellers. Is there anything else that you would like to add to what we know or should know about the traffic page on Seller Hub?
The two things I want to share with the sellers. One is that we always want to hear your feedback. So we have a feedback link on this traffic tool right on the top right side, where you see an option of a comment where you can go and provide the feedback. And we regularly check this feedback, and we consider them when we plan to add some new feature in the report. So we definitely want to hear from you more and more. And second is, stay tuned. We have some big releases coming up soon. Those will give you next level insights on how your listings are performing on eBay site.
Well, once those are launched, will you come back and talk to us about them?
I can't wait.
That would be great. Purana, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of. I know it's, even though we're all working from home, we're still really busy. So I really appreciate it was kind of a last minute request, and thank you for filling in.
Thank you.
Purana Joshi is the Senior Product Manager for Seller Experience. Now, if you have questions about the Seller Hub traffic page, you can always provide feedback on that page if you click the send feedback link. You can also send your questions to podcast@ebay.com or call them into us at our podcast hotline, which is 888-723-4630. And we will do our best to find answers from Priyana's team and then repeat them back on the podcast. Priyana, thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Continuing with our eBay seller stories, that's 25 stories for 25 years. It's our anniversary this year of 25 years of eBay. This is our second eBay seller and her story. Please join me in welcoming, from Hertfordshire, England, Victoria Eagle, who sells on eBay under the name Pegs and Pearls. Welcome, Victoria.
Hello.
I hope you're having a good day there.
I am, yeah. A bit hot today, but yeah, all good.
It's becoming more the norm there in the UK.
It is. It's very strange for us. We don't normally get hot. But then hot for us is very different to hot for you sometimes.
Yeah.
We get hot in sort of 65. So, you know.
But it gets humid as well.
It does get very humid and sweaty. Yeah. But we don't have aircon over here. Nowhere. In our homes, we're just having a fan blowing hot air at us. So
I can see an eBay selling opportunity here, selling air conditioning.
That's such a good idea.
Yes, you may want to look at that. In the meantime, let's find out what it is that you actually sell on eBay now.
Well, I sell mainly wedding invitations. I do sell invitations for every occasion, kiddie birthdays and christenings, baby showers. I recently started doing home prints for people's houses. So especially during lockdown, where people are renovating and doing up their homes, I've been selling a lot of prints.
When you say prints, what do you mean?
You know, like if you had a kiddie age two, and they love Peter Rabbit. I could do the initial T for Tommy with his name, with a little image of Peter Rabbit in a print. You could put it in a frame and put it on his wall above his cot.
Oh, how cute. That's adorable.
Yeah, and many other themes and colours and that people can put in their children's rooms. I'm just moving into the more themes for your living room and stuff. So quotes, really famous quotes and things like that that you can put on your wall. Hence, I've got many, many new prints in my house.
And you sell these on eBay, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. So during lockdown, that's been a thing I've been selling the most, because with weddings and stuff being cancelled, the wedding invitation trade has gone down massively. Yeah.
How did you start selling and when?
It was 2012. I had been a retail manager for 15 years. I'd worked in London's Oxford Street, and I had met my husband and had two children, and that type of job just didn't allow me to work the hours that I needed to with two children. So I gave up that job, and I got postpartum depression because of just being off work and not having anything other than the children, who I love dearly, but I'd always worked. So really wanted to do something else. And I'd trained to be a wedding planner after I got married, because I loved the planning part of it so much and I loved weddings so much. And then my sister had been selling some T-shirt transfers and little kiddie prints on eBay. And she said to me, "You sell your secondhand clothes that you don't wear anymore," because I'm a bit of a shopaholic. And she said to me, "Why don't you, I've sold my clothes on there. So, well, why don't you create and design something to do with weddings and sell it on eBay?" So she gave me a quick Photoshop lesson, and I went about designing a few invitation designs, listed a few, say 20. Only had my at-home laptop, my at-home printer. I didn't have any supplies of any kind, but I just listed them in the September of 2012. And then I used to sit there with my young children, just refreshing the screen, hoping that there was a message from someone or that there was a sale from someone. Yeah. And I remember my very first sale was three housewarming invitations that this woman asked me to design specially. Didn't even buy one of my designs. She asked me to do something completely different.
Wow.
But I was so happy that I'd sold something that I'd made. Other than that, I didn't take any money at all. Nothing. For 3 months, it was very quiet. But I believed in what I designed and hoped at some point that I would sell them. And then in the January of 2013, it literally exploded. I took £8,000 in 4 weeks.
Wow.
I didn't know what hit me. I was in the bath and my phone was just going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I was sort of thinking, oh, I've taken all this money while I've been in the bath. And then having to drive around Hertfordshire trying to find suppliers for envelopes and card, and telling my husband, "I need another printer." And he's looking at me like I'm nuts because I'm spending this money that we haven't got yet, or that we've just sort of got in, on equipment. And he's like, "You don't know if this is going to go anywhere." And I was like, "I have orders to send out." So I just had to buy all this stuff to get them out, and it never calmed down after that. January is my busiest month every year.
Yeah.
It gets to Christmas and the brides think, right, let's get Christmas out of the way. And then they buy their invites in January. They go mad. But since then, it's been steady. And I've, for the last 7 years, I earned a full-time salary, and all I ever wanted was to earn my maternity pay. So it was a little bit of pocket money. It's full-time. It's a full-time job.
But it sounds like initially you got overwhelmed by that flush of success that happened in January of 2013.
I didn't know what hit me, honestly. It was hundreds of orders. When you get the awaiting dispatch amount on your seller page, and that was sitting at 125 orders waiting to go out.
Oh, dear.
And I have to add each of their personal details to each one. I have to then print each one. I have to then trim each one. I have to pack each one and then send it to the post office. And when you're someone that has never done this before, now I can do it in my sleep because I've been doing it for 7 years. But when that's your very first foray into busyness, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I was getting my mum round to do the hoovering because I couldn't, the house fell to pieces because I was just working all the time. I don't know. I think because I was thrown in at that deep end, it never ever feels as bad as, not bad, but it never ever feels as busy as what that month ever did.
Ever.
Because I'm used to it. Yeah. That was thrown in at the deep end. Now I kind of know come January I have to plan with regards to getting my stuff in, getting my supplies on board, telling the kids that mummy will be in our office for 4 weeks. and working all the time.
Yeah.
I plan for it and I enjoy it because I like trying to do better than last January or, you know, trying to take a little bit more money than the year before.
Well, this year, Victoria, has been very unusual, of course, because in January, none of us knew what was coming. You must have started getting orders for this year. And then what's happened since then with the pandemic?
Well, January was just as bumper as it has been in previous years. And my aim with January is always to keep the momentum going. Try to keep the momentum on eBay going. Keep your visual, keep yourself up there on the search in the search engine. And I was doing really well in February, even doing well in March. And then it got to sort of the middle of March when we started hearing things and the shops went mad and you couldn't get loo roll and everything else. And then people started to get a bit wary and the sales started to drop off. And then they basically went through the floor. I mean, I was 70% down on the previous year's sales. And without the government grant system, there would have been no point in me continuing the business that I currently have in the last few months, because I wouldn't have been able to keep up with the expenses and everything else. So I've had to adapt in what I've been selling. So I've added more prints. I've been doing thank you cards because people can't see each other. So people want to send a virtual hug card, thank you NHS cards, and people that have had their weddings cancelled, I've done the change of date cards for them. I always make sure I offer them a discount because I feel so bad for these brides that have had to change their big days. It's still down I'm even down at the moment on last month. So I'm still not picking up on last month still. But weddings is one of those things, it's going to be one of the last things to come back because they're large gatherings. So at the moment, from the 4th of July, we'll be able to have 30 people at a wedding, but that doesn't mean that they're going to need many invitations. And some people are holding off because there's still so many unknowns with this coronavirus. We don't know where the country is going to be in 4 weeks' time. You know, they've just started initiating local lockdowns. We could go into that. So it could affect my business again. So, yeah, it's a little bit of unknown, but I'm very fortunate that I work from my house. So I can put the time in. I'm not that busy, so I can think of new ideas. I can try to think of, okay, what new stuff could I try and design in this different age, something maybe digital or something like that. So that's going to be the next step if it continues on the way it has been.
I've always thought in the last month, and it's during the podcast, so somebody else might pick up on the idea, but someone could make a little extra cash designing backgrounds for Zoom. Everyone's using Zoom now, and you can have virtual backgrounds.
Zoom. I like that idea.
There you go. And you don't.
I'll make sure I get you in on the cut. Yeah.
No, you can't do that. It's all gratis. I can't take a cut. We'll talk offline. No, I can't.
All right, I'll do it all myself. But thank you so much for the idea. I love it.
It's easy to say, oh, I'll design backgrounds for Zoom, but that assumes a certain degree of artistry. And it sounds like you have somewhat of a background or a talent for art and artistry. Did that help drive you into the business that you're in now?
The really strange thing is that I have no background in business and I have no background in artistry. I did mediocre at school, but I've always been super driven and I've always been fairly creative, if you like, with regards to style, with regards to interior. And I know what looks good. It sounds big-headed, but I know what looks nice. So when it comes to planning people's weddings, you could see color schemes coming together and helping guide people with flowers and that type of thing. But when it came to designing the invitations, after having the Photoshop lesson, I knew what to put on them because you keep up to date with trends. You look in the wedding magazines, you look at what the brides are wearing, you look at the colors of the flowers, and then you design something based on that. And I mean, I do look at my early designs and cringe. I do look and think,
really?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. I mean, they were horrifically basic and really not very good. I mean, my best seller, I'm contradicting myself now, but my best seller is a design, one of my very early designs, one of my very first designs, and it has stayed my best seller throughout the years. It's really strange. I update the ranges all the time because tastes change, but this one particular one, it's a vintage postcard and it sells so well. But I don't like my old designs. But for some reason, I just seem to do really well with regards to designing new stuff. and staying ahead on the trends. But no, I don't have any experience in being artistic and creative. I'm just determined. I think that's what I am.
I think that determination also shows that you do have a talent that perhaps you weren't always aware of. And that's good. This is a good thing for you. Weddings are coming down, and that's been the main source of your income. Mm. What are the kinds of invitations, or what are you filling that void with besides, you know, thank you cards? And I, you say you're doing prints now, and lots of people have a lot of time at home and they're renovating and they need stuff. So that's another end.
Yeah. Yeah. So because weddings, well, obviously near enough gone, people are still having little parties for their children in at home, and they'll invite their sister and their brother, and they'll, a parent will still buy it, still order a pack of 10 invitations for a kiddie party at home. Thank you cards where people are unable to see their loved ones and older family members. So they send me a photo of their family, and I send it with sending you a virtual hug written on the card. Like I said, with many different styles of family prints. Without the family prints, I wouldn't have taken any money whatsoever. The change of date cards, people are also buying for those weddings that have been cancelled. And I'm also getting a lot of save the dates for 2023. And a lot of those are overseas weddings. So whether people are thinking, I'm not booking a huge wedding in England because they can be, you know, weddings can be massive. They're just booking a short break away with the close family abroad. So I'm selling many sort of save the date, the nest boarding card style invitations that I sell for people, that type of thing. But yeah, the money is in the wedding invitations and the add-on sales that they carry with them with regards to RSVPs and poems and table plans and menus. So there's not as much as that. And that's where I'm losing the money.
Well, I certainly hope weddings come back. They have to come back. I mean, people need to get married, right? So
I love a wedding. Oh, I love a good wedding.
Yes, I thought you might.
I love a wedding.
In your experience with doing weddings, I know in the real world and the non-virtual world where you're a wedding planner, there's that mythical story of running into the difficult bride. Does that happen also when you're working online trying to help plan the wedding on the invitation end?
Yeah. I mean, you do get very easy brides that just pick a design, give the details, bish, bash, bosh. They're quite happy, ready to go. But then you get ones that send me 5 pictures of my designs and say, I want the flower from picture 1, the font from picture 2, the background from picture 3, the color from picture 4, but can you make it look like picture 5?
They basically want a dog's dinner of an invitation.
They want a bespoke invitation. And whenever I can, I will accommodate that.
Sure.
January, I can't do that because I'm so busy with orders that I have to politely say, if you come back to me in a couple of months, maybe I can redesign it for you then. But at this present moment, I'm unable to do that.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a quiet period, I'm quite happy to design something new based on my own designs, because I love that part of it. I do love the design element part of it. You do get people that send you an order, don't send you their details, and then scream at you in a message, why haven't you sent me my proof of my invite? I need your names first to put on the invite before I can send you a proof. Or they'll forget their wedding date. Or they'll, but they'll moan at me even though they've forgotten something.
Is the temptation there to say something like, well, since you didn't provide a wedding date, I provided one for you. I hope it works.
Oh, I do this every time. I type out a whole message that I really want to send. Then I delete it. And then I send the one that is eBay approved, because you have to sort of vent that anger onto the keyboard. Delete that. And then you send the proper one. Obviously, for me, feedback and customer service are so important. You will get unreasonable people. You will get super friendly, lovely people. A majority of them are. You do get bridezillas. But I used to be one of them when I did my own wedding. So I know what they mean, and I know how they feel when they want it just a certain way.
Yeah.
So, and because I'm not a big corporation and a big, you know, big business, I can offer that real personal service and be really chatty and friendly with the brides. And then I find that they'll come back. They come back and they get their thank you cards from me, or they'll come back and they'll get their kiddies' first birthday invitations from me. And I do get a lot of return customers hopefully based on the fact that I'm a nice person.
Have you ever got a second wedding out of a customer? Yeah, I've divorced that man. I'm moving on.
I did. It was the same man's name, first and surname, same venue, but it was a different woman, and it was about 5 years apart. You know, you're looking and thinking, because I'd saved it under a certain name and thinking, sure, that's you. But how can you ask, by the way, is, you know, not really appropriate, is it, to be asking those types of questions? But yeah, I mean, that would be good.
You could ask, would you like me to put on these invitations this time for sure?
Yes, I could do, couldn't I? Again, I'd probably type that out, then delete it.
Well, wait a minute, Victoria, why are you deleting these initial emails? Shouldn't you save them and then maybe write a book later?
No, the language would be really bad. No. You know, you put all the expletives in there. Bleep, bleep,
bleep, bleep, bleep. Oh, yes, the expletives. Yes, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and then you delete that. So then, you know, no one needs to read that. No one needs to see that again. Little rant on the keyboard, and then we get polite.
Now, Victoria, you mentioned earlier that the personalized service is what people seem to really appreciate because you're not a big corporation and they can work closely mm-hmm. with you to make sure that their one day, they're not going to get a chance to do this over, is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm sure you have competition. How do you set yourself apart from the competition on eBay?
I mean, it's really hard. I remember in the beginning thinking I should sell something that no one else sells because there's so many people doing it. But the thing is, I don't want the whole pie. I just want a little piece of the pie. And when you type in wedding invitations into the eBay search, I mean, you get hundreds of thousands of people come up in all different styles, some similar to what I sell, some very different to what I sell. But you just want a little piece of that. And you just got to make sure that you try to keep yourself on page one, page two, and that's when people are going to find you. So the way that you've got to do that is you need to look at your competition. You need to look at wedding magazines. You need to look at wedding stationery sites. You need to look at flower trends. And you just need to make sure that you keep your stuff fresh and new. Because by having the same catalogue of designs for years and years and years, you're not just going to sell the same stuff over and over again. It's like fashion. Fashion changes, people's idea of what is fashionable and what is on trend changes. And it's exactly the same with weddings. The things that I sold in the beginning, apart from that one postcard, is very different to what I sell now. It's a lot cleaner, a lot simpler, a lot less detailed. There's a lot more greenery in regards to, and not so many bright florals in things. It's a lot simpler in colors. When you think about interiors, everyone's moved away from beige and they've moved on to gray. And so when you look at the backgrounds of people's invites now, they want a gray background with a flower or a green or plant style thing in it. I just need to make sure that whenever I've got some downtime, when it comes to the business being a little bit slower, I try and design new stuff and get that listed as quick as possible. And then it's always the new stuff that starts selling, always. And then the stuff that would have been my newer stuff before starts sort of slowing down, and then the new stuff comes up. And I have to do that every few months. There's no other way of keeping yourself up there. And I think that's how I've been lucky enough to be able to do it for 7 years, because I've seen plenty of sellers that, you know, you keep track of what they're doing and their designs, and they've disappeared somewhere along the line. You've also got to be careful with people copying you. And I've had people literally take my design, do some tweaking to it, and then list it themselves. And I've had to go through the whole process of, it's very difficult when you're just designing a card because you don't really have a copyright, you don't have any copyright rights to it or anything. So that's really difficult. The main thing for me for keeping it going and keeping it fresh is you've got to stay motivated. You've got to stay driven, and you've got to want to, I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to work for somebody. I want to work for me. And if I want to keep doing that from the comfort of my home, I have to keep on top of my business and the business that I'm in.
Now, you mentioned that you also do things for, like, children's parties, for example. In what ways is that different from designing for brides and for their weddings?
Well, kiddie ones are quite fun, but kiddie ones, they have pamper parties, they have princess parties, they have pirate parties, sleepover parties. It's quite simple, really, with regards to kiddie party invites. Pretty colors, pictures of crowns, unicorns, carriages, spiders, footballs, all things like that, with some pretty wording. And especially for the younger kids, sometimes just the big number one across the front, you know, Elsie is turning one today, bash, straight through the middle. And that's the invite that you send. So they're fun to design. You don't get as much money out of those because they're obviously people only tend to buy sort of 10 or 20 of those types of invites, but they're fun to do. And all those little pounds here and there make up the bigger pounds here and there. Yeah. So that's why I continue to do those type of ones as well. And baby showers and things like that. I started selling less personalized stuff and started doing blank invitations. They just have lines where people can write their own details on.
Oh.
They're really quick and easy to bang out, really quick and easy to print. And they've done really, really well. And I think especially with the situation in the world at the moment, people are buying those because they can fill them in when they need to. They don't have to have a certain date on them. They can just keep them in their drawer ready for when they need to add the dates on.
When we first met, and I knew I was going to be talking to someone who sells under the name Pegs and Pearls, I thought, oh, it must be Peggy, but it's not. It's Victoria. So how did you come up with that name? What does it mean, Pegs and Pearls?
I know. It's very random. I know it sounds really weird, cliche. It just came to me at the beginning. I wanted something that rolled off the tongue. I liked the idea of two letters the same. And at the time, at the beginning, when I first started designing, the wedding trade was very much shabby chic, vintage vibes, that type of thing. And the old fashioned pegs, the wooden pegs, I loved that, like really sort of really vintage feel to an old wooden peg. I know it sounds random. But then the pearl was a shiny element, a luxurious type of element, which I love as well. So I thought a peg, which was woody, rustic, with a pearl, which was glamorous and glitzy. And I thought they just sort of bounced well off together. And then Pegs and Pearls, there you go. And it just stuck, sounded nice, and it just stuck. But my husband lovingly calls it, he's like, how well is Pegs doing this month? is Pegs gonna fork out for that this month? I'm like, yes. And I've just started an Instagram account for my house because I've done up my house during the coronavirus. And it's called The Home of Pegs.
I'm going to have to see that. Well, if you like to give out your Instagram account, we'll let you do that at the end of the interview. That's up to you. You mentioned your husband and you have kids. Are your family involved in your business at all?
I don't let anyone touch anything. I'm quite, it's got to be just so. My husband is super supportive and the kids are very understanding. When they were little, they'd be trying to watch Peppa Pig. And the printer noise would be, you know, in the way of Peppa Pig, that they wouldn't bat an eyelid. I'd have to run in from making their dinner to go and do the printer, to add some more card. They've always been super understanding. My husband will always, especially in January, he's very much there to look after the kids in the evenings when I have to work longer hours, when he gets in from work. He's always been very supportive from the beginning. Even though right at the beginning, he did say to me, when my invites didn't sell for the first 3 months, he did say, why don't you design something more mainstream? So, excuse me. And I stuck with my guns and I stuck with what I loved. And I was right in the end. But yeah, he's very proud of me.
That's good. You've made it into a success. You're dealing with brides and you do get some bridezillas. Are there any really specific stories that come to mind that you remember that were either your most dreadful or your most favorite memories?
I don't have any dreadful memories. I mean, I don't like getting horrible messages from people or like if they're unhappy with anything. I really dislike that. I'm all about trying to make someone have a nice experience. How I would wish to have an experience is how I want to treat someone. Two experiences that I have had that I've really enjoyed in recent months would be when I went to the eBay Awards. And the gentleman from the Prince's Trust was there and presenting an award. And his wife just came up to me and she said, we bought our invitations from you. And I was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, sort of small world. And it was lovely to meet someone. And I then spoke to someone, sent me a message the other day, someone on eBay. And they said to me, I was just in the car with my husband and I had to punch him in the arm because I said to him, that's the lady that just did our invites. And I was on the radio. The advert that's on the telly at the moment with all the pegs and with all the eBay individually brilliant, stronger as one images on the screen, there's my little picture come up And my nan, my 88-year-old nan, she says to me, "That little yellow van is going to run over your head. Keep saying to you, get off your head. Get off her head." I said, "Nan, it stops just before it gets to my head. So don't worry."
I'd love to see that commercial. I think it's only showing in the UK right now.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's great. It's like a lot of Polaroid pictures of lots of different sellers that are keeping the small business trade kind of going on eBay and stuff. So it's really proud. And my son and my daughter, though, are a little bit sick of it now. They sort of, "Oh, Mummy, you're on telly again."
It's become passé.
Yeah, but my son had some homework last week and he had to do work on adverts for TV. And they were saying, talk about an advert that you've seen on television that inspires you. Talk about an advert that you've seen that you would like to talk about and tell us why you like it. And on it, he wrote, it talks about small businesses during the coronavirus. And at the bottom, it says, "Why do you like it?" But because my mum's on it.
That's a good enough reason, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, exactly, son. Exactly.
You get to do a lot of planning for people's weddings or their events. Do they ever get back to you with like photos or tell you how the event went?
I make a point, especially on social media, to send out messages like a blanket message to people to say, if you have any photos of your invitations in action or your menus in action taken by photographers, please send them to me, Real Life Weddings, so that I can then forward them to my social pages to be able to show people. So I do have, especially on my social media pages, those real life wedding pictures, which I love to see. People add things to them. I mean, I like to offer a service that is really reasonable in price. That way people can either leave them as they are or they can add to them with details of their own to make them more embellished or more detailed. And I love to see those pictures to see what people make of them. Definitely. Yeah, it's a nice part of it.
Have you made friends with customers that way?
I've made friends. I've made definitely acquaintances, especially recently with people from eBay, especially in head office and stuff, which has been fab, all the extra help to help move your business forward. And like I said, with those return customers, it's nice just to touch base with people and they say, "Oh, I came to you last year. You did my son's whatever birthday and now he's turning this." And that's always really nice, especially when you work from home, you don't speak to many people. You don't see that many people because you're in your house all the time. So to have that interaction with real people on a message basis daily is really, really nice, actually, just be able to speak to different people all the time.
So, Victoria, you've been on eBay now for almost seven years mm-hmm. years. And before mm-hmm. that, you worked in retail. What have you learned about yourself since you've started working for yourself?
I've learned that I don't like London. I don't know how I worked in London for so long. When you work there and then you don't work there and you go back up there, it's like a zoo. I've learned that I love to work for myself. I mean, when I worked up London, I was a manager. So I've always liked to manage. I've always liked to be the boss, if you like, in everything that I do. So to be able to work for myself is absolutely ideal. But I always wanted to also be a mum, and to be able to then combine the two by working for myself, earning a full-time salary, and then also be able to bring up my two children, take them to school every day, pick them up every day, be with them, especially during times like this, just be very present in their lives, has been the most important thing for me. I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I've only learned since I won the eBay award that I'm actually a proper business. I know it sounds stupid, but to me, even though I've earned a full-time salary, when people call me an entrepreneur, I laugh. I think, me, that's funny. It's always just been my little pegs and pearls. Like, I've just done it from my house, first of all, on my dining room table, now from my little tiny office. So then all of a sudden be called a successful business. It's still very strange to me because it is just something I started small at home. And to me, it still feels that humble sort of small beginnings. It's never felt anything different to me. I'm very lucky. I would never ever want to go back to having to work in the rat race of Oxford Street London retail. Definitely not.
And I think we're better for it that you won't be going back. We have lots of sellers who listen to the show who are either just getting started or considering getting started. What advice would you give to somebody who's coming into eBay for the first time and ask, what should I do? How should I do this?
First of all, I would say, don't give up. Have patience, because anything worth doing is worth waiting for. And if you have something that you want to do, don't think that you need to be the only person out there that's doing it, because it's very rare that you find something that no one's doing. So you only want, like I did, just a small piece of that pie. If you believe that you've got a good idea and you can somehow just get designing, creating, making, selling, obtaining, whatever it is you're going to do, eBay is such an easy way of selling stuff. Like I said, I started with selling my own clothes, didn't have a shop, an eBay shop, but all the tools that eBay give you, it's all there for you. Even now with my shop that I have, it's still all there for me. I don't need to do anything. I don't have a business background. I don't have a massive office space. I don't have industrial printers. I don't have souped up laptops. I get my supplies from sellers on eBay with regards to my card, my ink, my envelopes. It's all very simple stuff. Don't think you need to have, I don't have background in business. I don't know where to start. Start small. Do it with nothing. And if it goes big, then you have to run around in your car trying to find some stuff to do it. But then that's a good time to be running around in your car trying to find some stuff to do it. If it doesn't sell, you tried. At least you tried. But like I said, I didn't sell anything for 3 months. One item, I think. And then it went mad. With eBay, it's definitely a momentum thing. Definitely, you know, once you start coming up the search engine, you will stay there if you keep on with putting new stuff on, refreshing your listings and keeping up there. As soon as you start getting stagnant and you don't interact and that type of thing, you'll fall down that listing. So just give yourself a bit of patience and just believe that if you've got an idea, just stay with it. And you don't need a ton of training. I can do it, anyone can, seriously.
Victoria, this has been a delight and a pleasure to talk with you. It's been inspirational even for me, and I'm an old hand. And I'm sure our sellers will find it inspirational too.
Lovely to talk to you too.
So continued success to you. We would definitely like to check in with you again in the future and see how things are going.
Yes.
Hopefully the pandemic will be over by then, but we would love to check in and see if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Oh, Victoria, we didn't ask you. Would you like to give your Instagram account out?
Yeah, my Instagram handle is @pegsandpearls.
@pegsandpearls. Pretty easy.
Pretty easy, yeah.
Thanks again, Victoria.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We've been speaking with Victoria Eagle. She sells on eBay under the user ID Pegs and Pearls. We'll have more stories in the coming weeks from sellers whose stories were selected for the 25 Stories for 25 Years project. That's all for this episode. If you have an eBay selling question for us, you can always call it in at 888-723-4630. And if you're not a call on the phone person, you know the email address. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Don't forget your daily podcast to-do list. Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news. Go visit the new managed payments fee page at www.ebay.com/simpler fees. And check out the transcript for this and all other episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode. And on our next episode, we'll have more summer success tips and another seller story. We'd like to thank our guest this week, Senior Product Manager for Seller Experience, Prerana Joshi, and eBay seller Victoria Eagle, who sells on eBay under the user ID Pegs and Pearls. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.